Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cool Down.
Hey, the man's on form tonight.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you win 5-1, guys. You got energy.
Energy levels. I don't know about Wonga Dengue.
Yeah. You see? He lost. No energy, guys.
You know, it's funny, Claudio. You remember that recording you had in the beginning where I say that it's me cooling down from stress from the weekend.
Yeah.
And here you go. First game in. And already.
Why do you think we have to change the intro? We have to get a new one just for that fact. We're like, we can't put this out there. There's just no ways. And I mean, you're not alone. Look at Nick. Nick's wearing a Feyenoord shirt. He's already jumped. Jumping teams. The man's jumped leagues.
I'm flat, man. To be winning twice in the game at home, seeing our fans again, and then Steve Bruce does what Steve Bruce does, you know?
Which is flop.
Exactly that. Choke. Tactically inept. The list goes on.
Just gonna give a little shout out to Pums, the big man Pums.
Hey,
back
Pums.
In the house here, guys. Let's wave to the man. Hey, Pums.
Welcome, Pums. Welcome back, Pums. Well, how's it going? He's a Chelsea man, right?
We always get this wrong. It's either Arsenal.
He's a Chelsea guy.
So at least he's happy. Happier than Wonga Dengue.
Yeah.
Who's not happy than me? Or Nick, yeah.
All right, gents, but this is the first episode back for the new season. We're going to cover the games that happened over the past weekend like we do. We're going to look and discuss the results or look into the games. There we go. Pum's giving us confirmation there. Chelsea. Also, if you are in the comments, don't be shy. Chat to us. Pum's is always here, so keep him company too. We don't want him to be alone. But we're going to talk about the first game. There's a reason I open up with Arsenal, because that was the opening game of the season.
100%.
Brentford 2, Arsenal 0. Wonga Dengue, speak to us, man. What happened here?
Yo, I think that's what everyone would like to know. Even the Arsenal supporters. You know, even before the game, you had this feeling that, yes, Brentford could take it. And, yes, and them actually taking it is, I think that even felt even worse. Brentford wanted it more. I think even when I heard them speak after it, Ian Wright mentioned that the coach even said that, you know, he told them exactly what they were going to do. And in what he was saying is like, you know, target, the shaky areas, like Xhaka, put pressure on him when he has the ball. And why would he say that? Why would he say target Xhaka? Because he knows that's a weakness in the team, you know. There are times he makes, you know, careless mistakes. I still struggle to understand why Arteta wanted to bring him back in the team so bad when he had a chance to sell him.
Because you have no leaders, bro.
At least, no senior players.
Listen, the one thing with Xhaka I'll give to him, right, is that, okay, cool, maybe for Arsenal he hasn't always been the best, but at least he does have some leadership qualities, and he is he was a former captain of the club, and he's the captain of Switzerland, and he is a leader. You don't have any leaders. Take out Xhaka, you've got zero.
Yep.
Guys, I don't know. I think I
so
somehow
weakness,
feel that
at least he's got heart.
I would give the armband to Tierney. The stuff that we're doing now, no way. I would give it to Tierney. He had the armband on the day, Celo. And for me, a captain, he needs to be on top of his game. I get there'll be days. I mean, Steven Gerrard also had that time when he slipped. But Xhaka too often. I think I did tell you guys that he has the most mistakes leading to goals by any player. That's Xhaka. And there was a time in the game as well, I think we're 1-0 down. He gets the ball on the big box, and he doesn't check behind. Literally, you can see before he gets the ball, he doesn't check behind him. And then there's Brentford's plan at work. Everyone starts pressing. There are two men on him. They almost pinched and scored a second one. They would have been through. If it wasn't for Leno, there's another guy I think who should be at least attempting to lead the team. I'll try to give him the opportunity. Because he can see every mistake that everyone's making at all times. He's got a perfect view from there. But I can't. Arsenal's intensity was poor. Poor. The way Brentford played is what you'd expected from Arsenal.
But But Bonga, let's unpack this a little bit. So they lose 2-0. You already, we know time and week in, week out, you talk about Shaka. We know the frailties of the man. But overall, you said now the performance was weak. The attitude was weak. It's not so, something you expect for an opening game of the season. You know, you want your team to come out fighting like a Spurs or like a United. Tell me, where, how did that go wrong there, especially at Brentford?
How did they go wrong? Oh, you're saying, okay, no, but
why weren't they up for it? What was missing there? What can you put it down?
What happened with Lacazette and Aubameyang?
Lacazette and Aubameyang weren't
fit. There seems weirdness. But I read there was some, there's potentially some controversy about that. Were they, did they not want to go, or what's the, because I know there's been talk of Aubameyang potentially moving on. Is he pulling a Harry Kane under the radar?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Matt. As far as the way I saw it was that the guys weren't fit to play. I haven't seen anything that's underhand there. Yes, hello?
I was going to say, Rafael says, hello, my friends. Here in Brazil, we think that the European doesn't care for the club World Cup. There are rumors that teams will...
Mr. Sorge, we've got to talk about this. We've got to address this. Look, this is a Premier League show, but I don't. They do want to win the Club World Cup. That's a fallacy. I think any Premier League club.
It's because a Brazilian club is now representing it. Who won the Copa Libertadores. He's speaking about it. When River Plate won, he didn't care. He didn't care about an Argentinian club and Club World Cup. He was like, you know, but now because.
There's a lot in it. Yeah, there we go.
I'm trying to remember which one is it. Is it Internazionale? But yeah, one of these Brazilian clubs are the ones that won Copa, and now they're probably saying, but listen, going back to Arsenal, I'm very surprised that those two players were, are they not fit, or were they, did they have a bit of an injury?
Yeah, that's what I read. They were injured. That's what I read, is that they would not be able to start because they're injured. But I mean, look,
Claudio, they want to move them out. Those are two players that
they probably don't want to be there themselves.
They want to move out one, guys. They can't lose even, both, because you lose both, guys, then might as well be a 14th place team, guys, and fight to move for number 14.
For me, I think Barcelona's
5-1's giving you confidence. I said, "Are you out here?"
Hey, it's on foot.
Take all comers.
Go ahead, Wonga.
Look, I think Aubameyang. For me, like I heard the rumor that that was recently, a couple of hours ago, that apparently Barcelona are willing to give us Coutinho and so forth. Aubameyang. That's madness. Aubameyang, I think for us. He's obviously our goal scorer. If they're going to take a player, I'd say give us Coutinho and take Lacazette. I think it's a fair swap. And plus Arsenal really not too sure what we're going to be getting, because Coutinho hasn't really, played as well, you know, so I think we'll get the short end of the stick. If Coutinho, it'll really be up to him to perform. But I think looking at the whole performance as a whole, I think the player that stood out for me on the day, there would be Tierney, and there was Smith Rowe. I don't know if you guys watched the game or a bit of it, but Smith Rowe was working tirelessly.
The
intensity. If every player had the intensity of Smith Rowe, I think we would have stood a chance. Players like Chambers, I don't think he's good enough. Look, this is Hillel's laughing.
Sorry, Ben. Sorry. I don't want to be disrespectful to Chambers, guys. But
yes.
For a guy who was struggling to get game time, was he loaned out to Southampton, I think, at some point in time?
Yes. And he played centre mid.
And I feel that a Bellerin and a Cedric are better right backs than Chambers. Why is Chambers playing ahead of Bellerin and Cedric?
That's a good question.
I didn't get to see the game, but I watched like the extended highlights, and I don't know if it was just the version I saw, but it seemed like every time a ball went in, like a high ball into the Arsenal box, Arsenal didn't know what to do. And I would have thought that having someone like Chambers in there was maybe because they were aware there was going to be a lot of crosses, and he's a little bit, bigger, a bit more physical than Bellerin. The plan was to use his height to kind of mitigate that. Yeah. But Ben White had a terrible debut. I know I defended him, you know, last week a bit, but he looked, and it could be a case of they haven't had long enough to bed down the system and stuff. But you would have thought defenders of that quality, even on their own, would react better to long balls in than the way they did.
But you know what, Matt?
They were losing the second ball. They were letting the ball bounce. It was very, very lackluster defending, almost like fearful.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Making a mistake.
So that's what it was. It was boys versus men on the day. That's what it was. Yeah. One club, they could bully them, and they got absolutely bullied. But the thing on Ben White, though, Ben White is used to playing with three at the back. He's used to having two tough guys around him. He's very good on the ball, but can he get stuck in? And now they've thrown him in the back where there's a back four, and now he has to step up. He's not being protected, so to speak. And this is where a player like that gets found out in a physical game. It's all good being pretty. I mean, John Stones, for example, put John Stones in this Arsenal team. Same cut and paste. Put him in that side. What happens in the same sort of scenario?
Yeah, he would
exactly
still struggle.
The same thing.
He would still struggle. Yeah.
But even but I think, you see Pablo Mari as well. I don't know what they see in the guy as well. He's on the ball. He's the same. He's nice. He's got nice passes. Let's take the ball. Take a touch. He's out. But every time I've seen, well, most of the time I've seen him being attacked. I worry. I worry as Arsenal fans for the right reasons.
Wonga, where's Gabriel McGinnis? Because he was in the Olympic team squad, but he didn't play at the Olympics. Was he injured or something? What happened to him?
That's what I also don't know. I genuinely don't know. So they just said, I also saw that he was unavailable. I don't know if he was injured or what. I just saw
something must be wrong with him because he didn't play at the Olympics. Maybe our Brazilian friend can let us know. Rafael, do you know what's wrong with Gabriel Magalhães? I'm probably even saying it wrong because I've heard it's not said like that. But Rafael can help us out there.
Just to finish off, I don't want to stay too much on the cloud. I don't want to say everything was negative. But again, I said Tierney, Smith Rowe. Who knows why Saka started on the bench? Pepe again. Again, like I said at the end of last season, he started last season. He ended off the season, I think, on a high. He was getting goals. Not a good start for me for this year. But again, I would have started Saka instead of the guy. I think they are really trying to push. That's the problem with his price tag.
So here's and the thing, okay, continue.
Just one more. The Lukonga. I don't know if you guys saw him. I was very, very happy with what I saw on Lukonga. I think he's a good, it's the first time I watched him play. And I'm happy with it. And I think if who's this, Partey is well, he can't be played. For me, take off Xhaka. Let's try something without him. Get the right players on, if Gabriel's fit, let's get Gabriel. Not play Chambers, play, Cedric. Bellerin's been quiet, even on social media as well. So we don't know what's happening with him. Last post he had.
No, he's not even bottling. He's not even bottling.
Yeah. No, there's no post.
He came out today. He wants to leave. He's literally said.
But I'm happy with that. I think he needs to go. I'm happy with that. We've got Cedric. Maybe we'll find another backup. But Chambers, No, not Chambers. Chambers is like last resort.
But yeah, I think what Jason is asking is a very valid question. I think in the last show we spoke about Liverpool's 12th man, but I think that Claudio forgot that other teams also have 12th men. So what do you guys think of Brentford's fans? I think that galvanized them, guys.
Yes.
It's the first time in 71 years they've been in the Premier League, and that just gave them the energy, you know what I mean? I'm sure Nick wishes that his fans could have galvanized his team like that, but obviously I think the quality of players and the heart is not there, like, and the coach as well. The quality of coach is not the same as Brentford.
Yeah, I was going to say Nick's problem is they've got the 12th man in the stands, but they've got a -3 sitting on the bench in charge of the team. So it's like they still got happy with 9.
They got 9.
round off here on the Arsenal conversation. They lose this game to Brentford. The next two games are Chelsea and Man City. We did speak about the sacking of other coaches. Realistically speaking, after three games, they could have 0 points. That's more than likely. That the probability is quite high with regards to that. What happens if this man doesn't... Because if you lose those three games in a row, the next game becomes immensely important for Arteta and his job. I mean, can we see the guy getting sacked before he reaches his fifth game this season? Or do you think Arsenal will keep this guy?
I hope they keep him until the Spurs game because I just want to see Wonga's hair dyed. And I just think Arteta's the best man to get us that.
Yo, I think
Denis, they'll keep him. He's going to sell, you know, he'll hide behind this project that he's got. You know, he'll sell that to the board. And I think the board probably, is he the right man? I don't know. But, you know, do you judge a man three games in? Obviously, you've lost the first one against newly promoted team. But then you play against City and Chelsea. You know, it's a little bit, it's quite a tough way to gauge whether or not he is the right man if you are in that board position. But, you know, he would be, you know, sort of walking a tight rope because, you know, obviously you all know, like, there's no time in football. And, you know, the Arsenal fans are fed up. I would also be fed up if I was in their shoes, you know, from where they were, you know, in the last 15, 20 years to where they are currently. You know, they are a very beatable team, I think, for anybody. Even Newcastle.
It's a joke, it's true.
Unfortunately, there is no time in football these days, but, you know, you do have a couple of new signings, Wonga, and, you know, I think, you know, I'm speaking from a coach's perspective and sort of a process perspective, you would probably give the guy a bit of time to see. You know, you probably then not really look at the results as much and you see if the process that he's actually trying to get across is actually coming through in the way they play. But that can only work for so long because you can play nice football and get processes bedded in. But if you're not getting results, you know, it's a little bit tough.
Look, okay. Nick, you see, the thing with Arteta's process is that if it's what I'm seeing, the honest truth is, as a fan, I'm worried. So if I watched
Man United, I watched. You're only worried now.
No, look, it's been worried. I mean, since last year, I watched Man United, I watched Liverpool play. I watched the Tottenham game. I watched a bit of Newcastle as well. I saw the teams, folks. As soon as like Arsenal, as soon as we get in that final third, we want to be passing the ball again back to the other side. If you look at like the when I looked at those obviously the top four teams playing. Every time they got to that big box, as soon as they got in there, it was maybe one, two, three. Three, if I'll say, is too much even. And the radio is a shot being taken. Son, how many times does Son take shots before he actually scored his goal? There were times he maybe couldn't pass, he maybe didn't look, but he knew that, look, as soon as I get in this final third, I have to use this opportunity. Have to get it done. Arsenal are trying to open. It's difficult enough. Teams are able to put numbers at the back. It's going to be difficult for you to score, but Arsenal wait for that. But again, the way we played, I think Burnley are writing it off. Burnley we play after we play Norwich. After Man City, it's Norwich and then it's Burnley. I think Burnley again, if we consider goals like this, Burnley's gonna be a problem. You think they're probably also gonna invent, as long throws into their game as well after seeing that goal. They'll try it against us. 100%.
Well, yeah, here's the thing though. It's exactly to that point. We were talking about Burnley getting relegated, but as long as Arsenal and the team, there are points to be had for them. But we're going to move on in circuit. Man United 5, Leeds 1. Nick's been drumming this, or been banging this drum rather, this whole last season. You know, Leeds are going to get found out. Is this them getting found out at Old Trafford with a lot of fans at the stadium there? Cello, you might as well kick us off here.
Yeah, I just want to touch on what Cobler just said now about the you guys see that, right? Wonga, you see that?
Just I see that.
I start, you see that, right? But yeah.
It's not the most surprising news, let's be honest.
It's not the most surprising news. I think Barcelona doesn't have money to buy a player, I don't know where they'll get money to buy anyone. They're even struggling to raise the players. But yeah, Old Trafford, I'm happy. It was a good day for us. I think with Leeds, you get that, you know. Nick has said it, you know, too many times that Leeds are quite an open team, you know, and they are a team where you can score a 5 against them, you know, a 5-1, a 5-4, a 5-2, a 5-3, or lose 4-3 to them. I think what I like the most about, you know, United on the day is the fact that when they got the opportunities up front, they took advantage and scored the goals. You know, sometimes you get the opportunities and you miss your chances, you know. But I was still not happy with the conceding of the goal. Even though it was a great goal, De Gea couldn't do anything. I just want us to have
As he hit that ball, he just ran away and used
class. Exactly. It was class. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was going away from De Gea. So De Gea, no matter how far he dived, The ball was just going away from him and he just couldn't get to it. So I feel that it was a great performance. Pogba, 4 assists, Bruno, hat-trick, Greenwood, great game. You know what I mean? I think, but we just need to make sure the next game, we're playing away Southampton, let's do well again. Wolves, yeah. You know what I mean? And there's going to be a period in October where we play Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs and City. All those 4 teams in a row. So we need to make sure these first few games where we've got your, I think we've got a, after Wolves, we've got a Villa. We also have Everton also in our first 6 or 7 games. So we need to make sure our first 6 or 7 games, we get, maximum points so that when we get to the tough assignments against the other top six sides, that we can at least go in there, being in a decent position on the log.
I was very, very, very impressed with the speed at which Man United played, especially, from the fullbacks into midfield. And as soon as they identified the space in behind, the balls were just moving. And they weren't sort of the opposite to what Wonga was saying, trying to pass a ball in the final third with no real direction. But I mean, they were receiving the ball in deeper areas and sort of feeding their players in at the right moments. But obviously it did play into, Leeds sort of style sort of played into that, and it's a credit to Man United for taking advantage of it. And listen, touching on Leeds again, don't get me wrong, I do feel that they are a class side, and what they've done in the last 2 seasons is quite incredible, getting promoted and sort of having the season that they had. But I question the manager's tactics, especially when you concede the third and then the fourth. Even the second and the third, you think to yourself, don't you want to shut up shop a little bit here? Because if it's 2-1 or 3-1, you still have a chance, especially scoring when they did score. And, I mean, their fullbacks were so high at times, pressing incorrectly, I would say, because they were their triggers and their moments of pressing wasn't great. And, I mean, the moment when Shaw passed that ball into midfield and Pogba fed Greenwood in, I was like, wow, that was great. But I mean, the press on for Shaw was not on at all, and they were just completely exposed. So I just say it again with Leeds, I think they've got the all the ingredients to be a great team, but they need to decide and pick their moments when they when they go full throttle, and when they can just say, listen, a point away from home at Old Trafford is a decent result, and we can maybe take it. If they sat in a bit deeper and controlled the game a little bit more, it could have frustrated a Man United and maybe come away with something. But as soon as you go gung-ho against good teams like Man United, you are going to get hurt, and that's exactly what happened. But credit to you guys, I was very impressed. I was very impressed with you guys.
Yes, Silo, tell me, do you agree with what did the Man United fans say about Pogba's performance? Because I just saw the interview with, I don't know if you guys saw Graham Souness when they asked him.
He should have got 5 assists. Why did he only get 4 for £89 million? So, that's because I'm not coaching
him, man. What the hell is that? And that guy was he's worth £100 million. What do you expect? He's supposed to give you 4 assists. Like, flip.
Yeah.
That's
the only comment he had.
And I'll just touch on that whole discussion that they had there with Gary Neville and Mika Richards. I think it is a double standard, especially from Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Gary Neville loves Harry Kane. He loves Harry Kane, and it seems like they've got a certain friendship. That they have. He never wants to say everything bad. He always kind of caveats it and says, oh no, Harry Kane.
Not like us, Selon. It's not definitely like us. I think we're friends, but you will talk shit about me in front of everyone.
Exactly. But I'll talk shit about you. I'll tell guys that, hey man, look at Claudia's haircut. Look at that. What's that thing going on in his face? I'll say it like
So Gary Neville and Harry Kane, it's the uncut. It's not uncut like it is for us.
No, not uncut at all, man. He literally says. That Harry Kane's a model professional. He doesn't drink. He trains every day. He's a great man. And but he's going about this the wrong way. Okay, cool. But why did you have to say all the other stuff before you kind of have to then say he's doing the wrong thing? Whereas Paul Pogba is playing for Man United. He hasn't signed a contract, which he's okay to do because your contract ends at a certain point. And he's fulfilling his contract. And at that point in time, he can decide whether he wants to extend his contract or not. You know what I mean? But Harry Kane didn't show up and came back late from holiday and all of that stuff. Mm. You know? So I think that whole conversation just to kind of shows like a pundit like a Graham Souness just doesn't like Pogba. First of all, he plays for his biggest rival. And I don't know if he doesn't understand Pogba as a person, or I don't know.
No, it's really hate him. I don't know what it is, but I think it's hate.
I think a lot of people haven't appreciated what Pogba's been doing while his whole time at United. I mean, yeah. On the weekend he got 4 assists, but the truth is he's been playing passes like that. He's been creating chances like that his whole time. He has the occasional bad game. Every player does. And the problem is if he has a little off moment, it gets amplified and everyone's like, oh, this is what you get with Paul Pogba. He wants out. He's disruptive, da 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 da. But the truth is he's a solid player and he's consistently one of the best, if not the best player United have. And I think that it's weekends like this when it all comes off, when people actually finish the chances he creates, that then people are forced to kind of admit their bias. They just don't like the dude. And that's what it is. And 100%. And I think how many sides in the top four in England or the top four across the major five leagues, how many of them would take Pogba in a heartbeat? I don't see many of those sides turning him down. Mm. Look at the biggest sides across Europe now. They'd all take him.
And I just want to say the last thing, Claudio, is that, you know, also people forget that Pogba has played under different managers at Man United and different positions. Pogba's not just played striker at Man United, you know what I mean, if he was a striker. He's played as a 6 deeper. He's played as a 10 when he had when he was in the team of the season. Because there was a season where Pogba was in the Premier League team of the season.
Wonga's cold. We're hoping to get warmth from the team. Cold. Yeah, but we're not getting any warmth.
We're still trying to get his beanie sponsored. We're still waiting for those sponsors to become
beanie sponsored. Yeah, check his beanie sponsored. So it is cold. He's had different managers at Man United, and I think the thing is that obviously that he's had to play different roles. You know, different things have been expected of him. Also, Mourinho was saying bad things about him. You know, so you don't feel loved as a player as well. You know, they had a fallout, and then when Solskjaer came in, he started playing very well again, you know, type of thing. But it's because the manager changed, you know what I mean? And Pogba, I think at the end of the day, one of his biggest goals at Man United as well is that he wants to win a Premier League or a Champions League. He wants to win something. You know, Pogba's never won a Champions League. He wants to win a Champions League. That's what he wants. He wants to win it. And he wants to be in a position, he wants to be in a team that can win. But previously, Man United didn't have the correct team to support him and to...
So are you guys, saying
he was celebrating, copying Bruno's celebration. Pogba was very happy. You know?
So this is what, but this is, I think this is nail on the head, and I think this is where the criticism gets amplified, because he seems, we all know he's a player that shows up when he feels like showing up, and maybe to a certain extent with these other things that are happening, him playing in different positions, him not feeling the players around him are good enough, the contract talks, all these things kind of influence his performance. So maybe to a certain extent, him having a player like Bruno now, suddenly, you know, the man is banging, all of a sudden we're seeing a different Pogba, maybe the signings that they've made, and with the fact that categorically we know now he's not going to PSG, maybe these are psychological pillars, so to speak, in his game that have been the huge turning point for him, that we saw this performance. Now, I think the biggest question for United and for any title, possible title challenge, is how do they keep this Pogba going regardless of what happens? And that's, for me, is going to be the difference between the 100 million. We know, Matt, you've commented he does this, but can he do this consistently? And I was blown away by the performance. I was like, shit, this is finally the Pogba that I want to be seeing. So can he do it?
I think there's at United, there's a bigger question than just Pogba. I think what we're seeing here is an evolution of the entire side. Remember, we used to talk about Ole not being ready for this, whatever. And we've seen him grow massively. His decision-making mid-game has improved vastly. And I think, Celo, you can attest to that. He used to lament his ability to change the game. And that's clearly improved. Not that he really needed to this weekend. But as a manager, he's gotten better. He clearly knows how to use Pogba better now. Pogba's got better players around him. The whole squad has kind of aged and evolved. You look at the maturity players like Rashford have started displaying over the last year or so. And I think that all of that culminating together is really kind of a perfect storm for United. There's still question marks over certain things. Like you said, can Pogba maintain his consistency? Is Ole going to have a brain fart halfway through the season? Are they going to find a spot for Donny? There's a whole load of things. There are questions about the side, but I would say they're looking a lot stronger now than they were this time last season. And I think that bodes well for players like Pogba, who do need to be surrounded with talent. You know, the ability he can put his head up and look around, there's Fernandes, there's Sancho, there's Greenwood, who's just such a phenomenal, that natural finishing that he's got. It's,
yeah.
That's that stuff you can't teach, you know? He just, he's got it in spades. And now that they're finding a way to unleash him a little bit, I think it's the rest of the league should be a little bit scared.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I didn't like about United was that they looked entertaining. And for me, that's I'm going to be honest. But that's a worry. From my perspective, that's a worry. Because if they're playing like that, that means they're enjoying themselves. And if the players are enjoying themselves, they're gonna be threatening. And that's, for me, they looked just menacing every time they were going forward. And obviously, I mean, maybe we're getting too excited because it was against a side that doesn't exactly like to close shop like Nick says. So maybe it was just them really exploiting the fact. But nonetheless, I didn't like that fact.
No, the bigger test will come.
Yeah, bigger test will come. Look, we've got no Chelsea representative. Pums, you are on the line, so maybe you can give us some insightful comments. But from a Chelsea's perspective, 3-0 Crystal Palace. A lot of us did say that Crystal Palace were our favourites to get relegated, especially with Patrick Vieira and young players, etc., etc. But should we be surprised by this result? 3-0 Chelsea.
Nah.
Right, moving on then.
I personally didn't watch a game, but I mean, if you had told me 3-0 before kickoff, I probably would have taken it. You know, a new manager in the shape of Vieira, you know, sort of finding his feet. You know, he's had a sort of up and down managerial career so far already. And Chelsea coming off the Super Cup win, the Champions League win, and the abundance of talent that they have in their squad. You know, I would have probably, you know, said you were telling me the truth if that was the scoreline before kickoff. And what was what's quite interesting is that they didn't even have their star man Lukaku.
No, they're saving him for Arsenal.
They scored three goals. And what, if you think about it, you know, we spoke about it. I think all of us agreed except for Musa. You know, Lukaku will probably score anywhere above 15 goals this season, at least, in the Premier League. So you add, I mean, they score in three goals without him. You know, you add his goals to it. You know, they definitely are a contender at the end of the day. So, they will Man United, like Arsenal, will get tougher tests throughout the season. You know, Arsenal should be a test for them. I think the game's this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
So that
you would think is probably a tougher test, London Derby.
We're saying all these things about Arsenal, but this sort of game does suit Arteta because the expectations a lot less. Sits deeper,
Same thing as Spurs. Spurs did to Man City. I think Arsenal can do that to Chelsea because at the end of the day, guys, is that the Premier League has shown if you just have some bit of quality, you can actually win a game. So, you know, if you've got a team, you know, Leeds have some quality in them. That's why they can actually win. You know what I mean? Newcastle don't win because Jonathan's got quality. You know what I mean? So we just need some quality in your team. And that's the question, is that Wanga will Lacazette, okay, but obviously now we can't go back to you. But, you know, if you have Lacazette and Aubameyang in the side, that's a bit of quality. Your Smith Rose and your Sakas, that's the quality that you need. And, you know, I think, you guys can.
I think what's interesting also with the Tuchel situation is he's got an abundance of talent. And we've spoken about that. You know, Tammy Abraham going to Roma. Yeah. And now you've got Kurt Zouma. It looks like Spurs are interested. You know, he's shaping the squad, molding the squad as per, looks like, as to what he wants. And, you know, you can't tell me Kurt Zouma and Tammy Abraham are poor players, you know. It just shows you how much depth they have. You know, I do think they will be challenging. I don't think... I saw Dylan Patterson say it's a two-horse race. I think Chelsea definitely are going to be in with the mix. With the mix, Claudio. I saw that comment was directed at you.
Yeah, it was definitely directed at me. But
Chelsea, I think that what Nick is saying, I mean, Kante wasn't playing, Lukaku wasn't playing, Ziyech wasn't playing. Havertz came off the bench. Chilwell didn't get to play. They've got a decent, I would say, in
Thiago Silva wasn't playing.
Yeah, Thiago Silva wasn't playing. They've got depth. For me, the only thing that I found concerning, I don't know if it he picked up. But I left the game like, I think after 35 minutes, Pulisic didn't look. He did score, but I just don't know about
Lodge part of the game. I tweeted it. When are we going to have a conversation about Pulisic?
Yeah, he looked lost. I told my cousin,
I was
like,
disappointment. Because I think this player is such a huge talent. And for some reason, he's just not in the ground.
Yes, I agree with you.
I do think I'll go back to the point where if he had gone to, you guys are going to bash me for this. But I mean,
he had gone to Liverpool.
but I'm being serious though. You guys know a young player.
Do you hear this guy?
Okay. But
let's destroy the whole league structure. Just give Liverpool England shirts and you guys can fix football.
But a young player.
The family club.
Where would you guys want a young player?
The family club would have sorted him out.
The family club.
Of course.
Chelsea, you can't come and grow. You can't come and learn. You're seeing that. You need to hit the ground running at Chelsea. That's the thing.
That part is very true. That part is very true, Claudio.
That part is valid. It's not a club that nurtures you.
Just cut that and say, tick, yes.
Yeah. But he didn't just have to go to Liverpool. He could have gone to quite a few other sides.
I mean, Liverpool would have been a great option. You know, that's the thing.
He could have said Man United.
Yeah,
because Pulisic is very average players. Like, so if you give him another decent talent, he'll value him, I guess.
He's underperforming. That's all. He's definitely underperforming, and that's what's worrying for me.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're only playing every now and then, how are you gonna? It's very difficult. A player like Pulisic, you know, you want to give him a good run in the side. And Chelsea just—they've got too much depth to be able to waste time waiting for someone to find their feet.
Yeah,
they're gonna churn it out and bring someone in.
That's a joy. Good example. Yeah. Another one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it is a tough place to nurture youth. Which
Claudio, sign him up, man. Sign him up, man.
Yeah, which bring one? Him to the family club. You guys need signing.
Hudson-Odoi. Yes.
I think Arsenal need Hudson-Odoi. I would take Pulisic.
we need a miracle, folks. We need more than... We need prayers and everything else.
Look at what Warren is saying.
Warren could be right, but maybe it wasn't meant to be private. Maybe, like, they started it, and Arteta was like, I'll invite a few other people to share some ideas. And when they saw the invite from his Arteta, like Pep and Nuno Espirito Santo, all those guys were like, no, thank you. Like, delete. And it's just him and Vieira together. Like, so, what are we going to do this weekend?
before we move on from the Chelsea game, guys, they are serious title contenders, aren't they? They have to be up there. I think that's unanimous. We might as well move on there.
You can't be a Champions League winner and not be. You know, I think people forget that.
To be fair, Liverpool won the Champions League long ago. We were never in the same sort of stratosphere as the title league challenge. I'm not saying recent, I'm saying 2005.
There weren't loads and loads of Liverpool fans saying this year is our year. You're saying that was, I imagine.
No, but I'm saying now, retrospectively, regardless of what they were saying, I was like, if you look at winning the Champions League, you don't necessarily have to have a side that's going to win the challenge for the title.
Yeah, you've got to be good tournament.
I think you've got to be a good tournament team. I do think you have to challenge. I think you come off the back of that, and even back then, even when Liverpool won it back in the day, even then people expected them to challenge for the title. And I think it's the same with City. We're not
Jimmy
Chara,
left back.
Yeah, but Claudio,
if you look at
when you beat Spurs recently, you hadn't won the league yet. And I think you were slotted
into that, but that was made up for a whole bunch of other things. I'm just saying, Chelsea now, they've got great squad depth, but just because they won the Champions League doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go on and win the title. But right now, when you're looking at the players,
anyway. I think we all agree.
Yeah.
We're arguing about semantics.
Exactly.
That's true.
Let's talk about no semantics. I mean, the two teams...
No. Why are we going to... We jump into Sunday here.
Yeah, we jump... Should be...
We jump into Sunday.
It's supposed to be Liverpool. It's supposed to be Liverpool.
I think we've got to open up here, like Liverpool. What's happening here?
We see you, Edmund.
Yeah, Liverpool first, bro. You can't jump days, brother.
You know, sometimes I just think, you know... I can't always introduce myself, so thank you. That was a great introduction. Let's talk about a great game. There are other shows...
Other shows that aren't uncut, where people on the show would be like, let's not drop him in it. We'll fix this later. And afterwards, we'll talk about it. All of us, as soon as he makes a mistake, we're like, Claudio, come on, man.
What's going on here?
Come on.
Yeah, we make sure we remind him. Yeah. What's going on there? Come on.
We're his biggest fans and harshest critics at the same time.
And when you give too many guys admin rights, this is what happens. They can see behind screen.
Yeah, I'm the only one on here who's not an admin yet.
Yeah, Wonga isn't either. I don't know where Wonga is.
Okay, there
we go. I've got the fixtures here. And I have to even choose another day to see Newcastle. Not even here. There's Liverpool at the bottom. Right, so and I'm like, what's going on?
So he's looking at Saturday's fixtures and he's like,
yeah.
Newcastle's still on Saturday.
Still on next week. Like, next week you're going to go onto the StreamYard website and he's going to change, he would have changed the password. And we're gonna
the password is true. He's not going to allow us in.
Tell us about Liverpool, Claudio. Why was this a good start to the season?
Thank you. Well, it was interesting because obviously we started Jota up front. We didn't have Bobby Firmino. You guys know the whole rhetoric behind Bobby. And it got to the point last season, obviously not his greatest season. Do they look for another striker? Don't they look for another striker? That's the sort of conversation that's happening. We played Jota up front. We weren't particularly good at first half at all. Norwich had all the possession, did super, super well. But we were a bit of a Spurs on the weekend in terms of every time we went forward, we were efficient. And I think that was the difference. The midfield three was also very different. We had Keita, Chamberlain, and Milner. So no Hendo. So very different setup.
Different dynamic. Yeah.
No Thiago. Yeah, so we weren't controlling the midfield at all. That there was nothing there in terms of getting the ball and playing out. So we were reliant on a bit of the counter-attacks. But at the end of the day, Jota, again, who didn't have a particularly good day following the form of the Euros, but he still netted one. And I think that's the difference between a player like Jota and a player like Bobby. So we go, well, cool. We're not playing really well, but we're winning 1-0, and that's what you need in a big side, right? Second half kicks off, exactly the same thing sort of starts playing out. Jota starts coming into the game, but then the changes come, Fabinho and Firmino. And suddenly, Liverpool start buzzing. It's actually ridiculous. That's when you start going, you're like, wait a minute. All this the stuff about Bobby, you realize what a player he is, because now all of a sudden, Mane is looking menacing. Salah is looking menacing. Also, this is a lot of years playing together. But the way he brought them in, and obviously Fabinho being able to pick passes, and that was the difference. I know Pums is talking about Alisson's double save. Another good example, Alisson wasn't in the game at all. And suddenly, there's two saves he pulls in within the six-yard box. Huge, huge moment in the game. I don't necessarily think it would have impacted the result, but it would have put us under pressure. And again, that's the difference in the side. Otherwise, not much to talk about. I think it was a good routine sort of performance.
The first goal, Jota's goal, was Salah passing to him, or was that
Brandon passing?
Terrible touch. Terrible touch.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Salah doesn't pass, guys.
Like he could have.
No, he did. He did in the second half. He tried to pass to Mane. He should have scored. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was.
I couldn't believe. I was like, wow, Salah can actually pass a ball to Mane. I was like, wow, he's a changed man. But I was like, oh no. The scoreline is 3-0. That's why he passed. It's 3-0.
Yeah.
But even then, last season you wouldn't have done that. And that's why I was pissed off. I was like, Salah, bro, we like the fact that you don't pass. You know, that's fine. We've come to terms with that. Obviously, Mane is, they're trying to mend a relationship there. But yeah. But I do think we need to talk about his goal though. Cause I know there was talk afterwards about the touch that he has. And if Messi does it, it's Messi-esque. People lose their shit. But his touch to set himself up there is ridiculous. I don't know. You guys saw that off the corner. Salah's goal.
I saw Salah is goal.
I didn't see anything mad about it. Did I miss something?
It wasn't.
Explain it again.
We'll give it a chance.
Are you sure you heard them say Messi-esque, or did they just say messy, like as in untidy?
Listen here, guys. Actually, fuck this shit. I'm leaving. Goodbye, guys.
It's time to think of the show, man. It's time, man. We're going to catch a break here, man. It's time. Yeah. But Claudio, it was a great goal. I even tweeted that, no, man. Sweet strike from Salah, it was a great goal.
Look, the strike wasn't top corner by any means. It was the pace that beats the goalkeeper, but it's the touch that sets him up immediately. It's come off from the top. He's taken touch with the outside of his foot. He's so left foot dependent. He's managed to gear up his whole body and take the touch with the left foot to make sure he strike. And that for me was like, yeah, that was quality. And not many other players are doing that.
Claudio, do you feel that you had to get out of sort of second or third gear to win that game? Or do you feel it was quite comfortable?
No, it was very comfortable. Very, very comfortable. The one thing that did stand out for me was Cantwell. There were like rumors of him previously being linked with Liverpool. And Cantwell, for me,
I like him.
In terms of the energy he showed and the quality on the ball, for me, that was a player where I was going, wow. I see why people talk about him. I also like the fact that he ran. He gave the ball away on the edge of Liverpool's box.
And he ran after it.
He tracked all the way back into their own box, and he ended up fouling Jota just to redeem himself. And I was like, that's a player you can work with. So, I don't know. Arsenal should probably be looking at him and be a cheaper alternative than Madison. Yeah, Ox is...
Yeah, they don't know about cheap Arsenal. How was Ox for you?
Tough time for the guy. I mean, this is also the other thing is, they give Keita and Chamberlain opening Premier League day. Let's go see. We don't have all our sentiments here. This is a huge opportunity for both of them. Keita got the longest into the game. Chamberlain struggled to get into the game. He wasn't doing much. He was pressing. It's tough when that's not your bread and butter. When you want to be a creative player who makes runs in the final third, and now you've been asked to do a job, press high up the park, be creative. That's not his role, and I think, sadly, this is probably going to be the last season we see, well, it's not sadly for me, but for the guys that do like Chamberlain, it's going to be the last time we see him in a Liverpool shirt. This is going to be the season, in my opinion. I think Keita, it's going to be tough. If he can stay fit, he'll be a good squad player, because when Hendo and Thiago come in, it's going to be interesting.
And he's gone. Isn't Keita gone this coming... The...
Wonga, you froze a bit there.
Sometimes he says something that's so controversial, the internet's like, Wonga, I'm not broadcasting.
you froze there.
Yeah, he's struggling. But I think we might as well move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's Newcastle now. Now we can move to Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday. Wonga,
the minus three on the bench there.
Minus three on the bench.
I mean, it wasn't all bad then, Nick.
Am I frozen or not?
No.
Wonga's freaking me out here. This man's like freezing, not freezing. But yeah, just to summarize, guys, I was buzzing. Eh? 5 minutes in, you know, we
even Arsenal.
Okay, Warren.
That's what Warren.
Now, I was pleasantly surprised, you know, the sort of first half was exciting. I think I spoke about this before, you know, having our fit best players on the field, you know, we've got a chance against, I wouldn't say anyone, but we've got a chance, you know, we've got an attacking threat. And unfortunately, our Achilles heel has been sort of the back line and, you know, how we manage games. When I use the term managing the game, I was quite disappointed with how we sort of finished off the game, because we were 2-1 up at halftime in the driving seat, you know, scored two good goals, and then just threw it away. We didn't show up in the second half. Yeah. And, you know, positives, say Maximum absolutely sent Declan Rice for a couple of hot dogs. you don't know whether to turn left, right. And it's Wilson charming. With a proper English striker's finish there with a head, front post. That's what the Geordies love. A number nine scoring with the head, you know, getting between two centre backs. And you know what? I can't say that we didn't deserve to lose, because based on the second half performance, West Ham were far better. And we kept letting them back into the game. I don't think the penalty was a penalty. I think,
not a shocking call that. That was shocking. I
kicks
don't
the ball
why
completely. Yeah, he kicks the ball completely, and they did the check. But, you know, if I look at the full performance, you know, we didn't deserve it. I was also disappointed with the penalty. The keeper saves it on his debut. He's come through our academy, so he did quite well, Freddie Woodman. But no one's following up.
No one's following up.
You know, that's why he was so livid. So, unfortunately, when they scored the third and the fourth, we didn't look like we were going to score. We hit the post at one point, I think when we were 2-1 up. And I thought, if we can go 3-1 up, you know, maybe we've got a good chance. But then, you know, we were 4-2 down for, I think, 20 minutes, and we made changes We made the last two changes with 5 minutes to go or 6 minutes to go. And I just think to myself, you know, you're at home, you're at a full stadium, you know, you're making your changes with seven minutes to go. You know, you've got no chance of coming back here. And I just feel, you know, game management and then potentially trying to, you know, change the game was not there, unfortunately.
I mean, is there not a worry that this player can just decide, you know what, first game of the season, not much long to go in the window, screw this, I want out.
Yeah. If I'm any team, to be honest with you, in the top six in the Premier League or even abroad, you know, I would go steal him. I do think the market now, we would probably inflate his price to what he is actually worth, but I think the only concern for any team would be his injury record. You know, he does like to run at players, and his contact injuries are quite high in a season because he's running, he's getting kicked. He's very explosive, so he tends to pull the odd, you know, hamstring here and there. So I think that would be the only sort of, you know, something that would make clubs shy away from signing him. But, you know, I look at an Arsenal, I look at even the Spurs. I think he could fit into a Spurs side, no problem, you know. Because athleticism and sort of attacking threat. But you're right, Claudio. It is something I'm concerned about. I think the sort of takeover would have probably helped us not, you know, put away the fears of losing him. But what was quite interesting, he was quite vocal when Willock signed. He tweeted him individually, sort of saying, I can't wait to play with you, along those lines, love you, bro, all those sorts of nice things you want to hear as a Newcastle fan. So I think you add Willock to that midfield, and then we've got a great attacking threat if we can keep everyone fit. But unfortunately, they're back at the back. It's
fine. We've got Phil Jones, Sir Phil Jones. He just played. He played 30 minutes today in a behind-closed-doors game for Man United, guys. I think Stevie Bruce will do well with him in the centre-back. Come on, take him.
I'll take that. What's that lighty that you have to Nzebe or whatever?
Yeah, we gave him to Aston Villa.
I would have taken him. I don't know why our centre-back captain Lascelles was on the bench, although he can have mad moments himself. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if we could maybe get another centre half in the by the end of the transfer window, that would be great. But I doubt it. But all in all, not terrible. But you know, you score two goals, you think you will at least come away with a point. You shouldn't lose the game.
Cyril's busy inspecting his earphones while you're talking there. He's already lost interest. He says, take Phil Jones. You say no. He's like, okay, let me check my earphones. Next conversation, please. Thanks. That's what's happening.
No, man. Listen. I think, I'm trying to think who they can sign as a centre back, on loan, for instance. It's very tough in the Premier League where there's not much options. Would you take a David Luiz?
I've always liked David Luiz, but he's got moments of madness. We need to just concede less goals. We can obviously score goals, but if we concede in four, we're destined for relegation. If that's the continuous trend, you know. So I think we will be fine in terms of sort of scoring, but we need to try to shut the shop at the back.
We meant to talk about the next game, but we got a good question here. What happens to Longstaff, Nick? Future Michael Carrick here from Ricky.
Steve Bruce happened. He was unbelievable under Rafa. He was one of our best players. I think Man United were linked with him. I think there was a £25 million offer, and I think we had rejected it two seasons ago. And he's not featured. I don't know if they've had a fallout. It's a bit strange because they're both Geordies, so you'd think they'd get along. But him and his brother have been completely sidelined. There's talk that Rafa actually wants him at Everton. Listen, I wouldn't blame him because, you know, he had a manager in Rafa who got the best out of him. And unfortunately, he just hasn't clicked with Bruce. And, you know, I would tend to side with Longstaff in that situation because you all know what I think about Bruce.
Right, guys, Spurs, Man City. This is
the big game of the weekend.
The big game. But also, what is it? Between the Arsenal result and this one, which one was more shocking?
Sure.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think with no Kane, like I honestly thought Spurs were going to be in a position where, you know, if they come away with a draw, they would take it. If they lost 2-1, you know, they would also take it probably. Not bad to lose 2-1 against City. But to win it, you know, Maddie, you must be buzzing, mate.
Oh, hugely. I mean, especially, you know, talk about shocking results. When you look at the lineup we put out there, you know, you guys know how I feel when I see Sanchez and Dier next to each other in the back. It's always a little bit, you know, you just wonder. And when we, the first sort of period, the first sort of 15 minutes out of the game, we looked like it was going to be a long day at the office. There was a lot of nerves there. Oliver Skip, his first start in the Premier League, I think it was, and there was a couple of moments where he had some, you know, he lunged in at Grealish on gave away that foul just outside the box. I think there was a couple of moments where you just thought, well, this just doesn't look like our day. And the team really grew into it. In fairness to Sanchez and Dier, they had a phenomenal performance. The pair of them were really, everything that they do well, they did on Sunday. And none of their mistakes were there. They were, you know, Sanchez tackling was inch perfect every single time. He was on his man. No one had any space to operate. Tanganga had a huge performance. He kept Sterling quiet. He had Grealish and Sterling to deal with, and he was just always in the right place. He was just making good decisions. He was finding the right position to be in. It was just a really fantastic performance all round. Obviously, it took that moment of brilliance from Son to finally score. As Wonga said, there was a few opportunities. There was a few shots. It's not like it wasn't a smash and grab. There was a couple of really good opportunities for Spurs to score goals. Bergwijn had a fantastic game. Lucas Moura was making awesome runs, really kind of stretching the defence. I think also it must be said we were very lucky to play City. In hindsight, we're actually very lucky to play City the first weekend of the season.
True.
Look at City's lineup. Cancelo is not up to standard for what City expect from a defender. Nathan Ake didn't have a great game. I've seen him before when he was still at Bournemouth.
He's not up to standard.
When he was at Bournemouth, he was a solid defender. You saw he was a lot of potential there. He hasn't seemed to kick on at City. And there was a couple of moments there where you saw Mendy had a very rough game.
Guys, Zinchenko is such a better player. I don't know why they didn't start Zinchenko.
There was some very poor performances from City players. Fernandinho, even, his decision-making was weird. There was a couple of opportunities where he had the ball and you thought, on another day, he would have made a better choice. There was two instances I can remember where he took a shot that was just sort of, there was nowhere on and he's not the player to take it. That said, Spurs took advantage of what was in front of them. They can only play the team that's there, and they pulled it off. The performance was really good. Skip grew into the game massively. Skip and Højbjerg in the middle. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Højbjerg. I think he just gives everything every game. He goes out there like it's a battle. Pair of them really. Yeah, exactly. And Skip also, once he got over that early nerves, he was also making really good interventions, getting in the way, kind of breaking up the midfield play. And I think it was just all in a really solid performance from Spurs. I do think City will play better than that. I'm not going to, you know, knee-jerk reaction say we're going to win the league. I think there's a lot of football to be played. There'll be better versions of City that are going to come out during the course of the seasons, and Spurs will have tougher opposition. I think the 12th man did make a difference. I think it was a very, very good noise coming from the crowd. They really got behind the side, and it was a good day. Yeah, well played.
Matt, what I want to ask you, and I'm looking at the performance, you've mentioned Lucas, fantastic performance. Look, it's hard to point out a Spurs player that didn't have a good game on the day. I think they were all punching above 100%. Their weight. They all did super well. But, and I think maybe a frustration from the Spurs side has been the consistency of a player like Lucas. And now suddenly you've got this Portuguese-speaking manager. I know you had Mourinho in the past, but very defensive sort of setup. You've got this manager who's kind of unleashed the man. And then you've got Son, who you can see mentally seems like he's the player going, give me the ball. I'm the big man here with the absence of Kane. And then you've got other players. You've mentioned Højbjerg. You've got real leaders there. So for me, like, how influential was it that Kane actually wasn't on the pitch there? It wasn't like a case that the team actually had to get together and say, listen, we can do this. We can do this. And now that they're done,
So look, it also bears mentioning that Spurs have got form for beating City at home. You know, City haven't yet scored a goal at Spurs' new stadium. We've beat them every time they've come there. And Son has scored, I think it's now 4 consecutive home games against City in all competitions. And it's been Son who's done it. He's scored 6 goals over 4 games or something.
He's got the BMT.
So there's you know, opinions both sides of it. Would we have won if Kane was on? Would we have been overly dependent on him doing stuff? I think that's a possibility. I still think over the course of a season, Spurs are going to be better with Kane in the side than out.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, we didn't seem to suffer for him not being there. The team did pull together. I think it's shown there's... And Spurs have always had a good, like, squad togetherness type of culture. You don't often see Spurs kind of not pulling hard. Even when there's a rough game, we're not playing well. The squad often... Individual players are trying their best. And I don't think we ever, you know, I think unlike maybe we're fortunate, unlike other clubs, we don't often walk off at the end of the game and look at a particular player and think he wasn't even trying. You know, that we usually see that all the players are doing their best. I am keen to see Lucas have a better run in the side this season. I think we play better when we've got players like him and Bergwijn running and making space, pulling defenders out of position, giving players like Son room to maneuver. And I want to see Bergwijn get some more goals as well, because I think he deserves it. He gets in the right position more. He's just got to find that finishing touch. And I think once he does, he's going to blow up.
I think what's quite nice with this new manager, sorry, Claudio, is that you know, he's in his first game, he's already found a solution to beat probably arguably the best team in the league without your best player. So, you know, he's got different solutions then. Obviously, you know, I'm almost certain he's got a game plan that will involve Harry Kane if he is to stay. But the fact that you have this sort of dynamic sort of way about you being able to adapt to different scenarios is maybe quite refreshing for you guys. Whereas when you had Mourinho, I'm a pro Mourinho sort of person, but I do think, you know, he's probably a little bit more pragmatic than what this Nuno is offering.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you can tell in also the way the players were expressing themselves. And we haven't even mentioned Ali, but he was I still think he's a bit short of his best. But you saw on Sunday, he was clearly feeling a bit more freedom. He was looking for passes that he definitely wouldn't have looked for under Mourinho. There was a forward motion about the side, and Ali was a fantastic example of that. He was pressing when it got towards the end. He was still chasing down every ball. I think he racked up the most kilometers of any player on the field on the day, which is obviously a big indicator of a change of mood for him. And he was also just making these clever little passes. He's got such good vision. That's what we've always said about Ali, is that he's such a clever player. He does stuff and sees stuff that nobody else would. And we saw it pre-season. I watched quite a few of the friendlies, and it was clear that there was a different way about the Spurs side. And Nuno's come there with an intent to play more offensive football to kind of get back to where we are. And against City, there was certain counter-attacking movements there that were just... They reminded me of the Poch era. You know, the players just knew exactly where to go. They ran exactly where they needed to be. It wasn't like under Mourinho where it was just two players going for it.
Yeah.
The whole side realized we're now on the offensive, and they all ran to where they needed to be. They created space. Lucas pulling players out of position, Ali getting into that, like, you know, that into the pocket and just being available for the out ball. And I think it was just a fantastic. It was an awesome game. It was very tense. You know, you always get that feeling that City are going to find a goal somewhere. They finally brought on their striker in Gabriel Jesus, and I think City were a little bit off it. I think City are going to play much better than they did on Sunday over the course of the season. I still think they're favourites for the league, but you can only play what's there and
Spurs in front of you,
perfectly. Yeah.
Jens, Cole was asking a good question here, saying if Man City don't sign Harry Kane or any top-class number 9, I don't think they'll win the league. Is this a valid assumption, considering how they won strikers anyway?
They won it last season, and Aguero barely featured.
Yeah, but let's take into consideration Chelsea have gone out and gotten a striker. You've got Man United have bolted up. I mean, they are
top scorer, looking
really threatening. And if you look at Man City, you're playing... Yes, it's first game of the season. They're playing a Spurs, and they really... I mean, in that game, that 90-minute game, if we're being 100% honest with ourselves...
They didn't test Lloris.
They didn't test Spurs.
There was one saving.
It was like the Champions League final where they really didn't threaten Chelsea. You know what I mean?
It happens to
City where, for some reason, right, they don't get that clear-cut opportunity where you feel like, wow, what a great save by the goalkeeper. Like, you know, like maybe let's say the goalkeeper's the man of the match. So it's not like Lloris was the man of the match, or Mendy was the man of the match in the Champions League final. It's just for some reason. And also, I think Grealish coming in is also going to take a bit of time to gel, because Grealish also doesn't play quickly. He likes to drag and take time and dull on the ball a bit, which helped, because then Spurs knew how they were going to play, whereas City is still trying to figure out how they're going to be gelling.
Listen, 7 games into last season, 7-8 games, I remember being on the show. I think we can go back and look at that show. And we were speaking about Pep potentially getting the sack because they didn't have a great start. And I tend to agree with Matt. You know, to write them off because they might not have a striker, and they've really proven that they can do it. You know, they've got this Ferran Torres that's also coming towards the end of last season, banging in some goals. You know, Pep will have a plan. People have a plan with or without the top striker that we talk of. And they'll be there and thereabouts. Whether or not it will, you know, Claudio's right, you know, the gap might be closing with the signings that Man United and Chelsea are making. And obviously Liverpool always there fighting. But they will be in the mix right towards the end of the season and more than likely at least to the last day of the season.
No, definitely. I also agree. I think Man City, definitely. I think Pep has shown it. There was a time where at Barcelona, he has Cesc Fabregas playing as a false nine. You know what I mean? I think he's shown in his time, wherever he's managed, that he can make do with the tools that he has. You know, especially if the other components are very strong, which he does have very strong components. You know, the fact that De Bruyne didn't start also helped, because he added something different when he came on. And I think... Yeah. And I think him being on the field would have been a different ball game. But obviously, he wasn't fit to play 90 minutes. So I think definitely City are still the favourites, because you can never count out the defending champions. You know what I mean? But I think that number 9 will get them the treble, for instance. You know what I mean? I feel.
Yeah, I think there's obviously, you know. Like I said, City had, they were a weakened side. I think you got De Bruyne to come back to full fitness. Diaz was on his own very much there. I think he was really the only defender who was really doing his job properly. And I think that's, all of that stuff will contribute to them being stronger next week than they were this week, and stronger again the following week. And also, as you said, Grealish will find his feet. He'll contribute more. I think this is a fantastic result for Spurs, but I don't think it's indicative of some sort of massive shift in power. I don't think that we're looking at now City dropping to 8th and Spurs winning the league. I think there's still a lot of football to be played. And Pep knows that. He's more experienced than anybody else, any other manager in the league at the moment, in terms of how long a season is. And like you said, this time last season, we were writing City off. And I mean, last season was a complete mess. How many sides topped the table at some point or another?
Everton,
and then City snuck at Spurs. Yeah, exactly. And then I think this season will be different. I think this season will be different. We'll see a traditional kind of title race, where there'll be the three sides, United, City, Chelsea, kind of all tussling it out. And between the three of them, they'll share top of the log until probably the final week. And I think that's where... But on its own, as a game, it was a huge result for Spurs. And it showed a resilience that we hadn't shown for some time. I think that was really good to see, too.
That's true.
And a huge, brilliant start for Nuno. And the one thing I liked about him playing Tanganga, I know there was a question here, Pum's asking what happened to Aurier. But if you've got to consider Aurier or Doherty, both those two, they were never actually going to be considered for this tactical approach in how they set up for the game. And I think Tanganga was phenomenal on the day. Especially, I mean, Matt, I told you before, that he wasn't just marking Grealish. He also had Sterling on the left. Those two players obviously doubled up with Højbjerg, but what a performance. So, credit to Nuno. It looks promising. It actually looks Pochettino sort of. He's got a Pochettino sort of vibe to him, Nuno, in terms of what we're seeing, in terms of how he's approached with the Spurs squad. But on that note, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, so let's hear those final thoughts. We start off with Matt, seeing as it is a Spurs final chapter. Selo, Nick, and then Wonga.
I'm just glad to have it back. Glad to have the sounds, the proper sounds back. I'm glad it started with a win as well. I'm so glad I don't support Arsenal.
I'm glad the Premier League is back. And just to answer Collar's question there around if City get Kane, will Man United get Haaland? I think it'll be very tough to get Haaland. I think that it's not a certainty. There's already rumours of Bayern will be going for him as well. And definitely all the other big sides will definitely go for him as well. So I think Man United do have a good chance because of his relationship with Solskjaer, but that alone didn't get him to move from Salzburg to Man United. So I feel that we're all within a chance. But also, I think as well, if we can also have good contract talks with Raiola and Pogba, that could also influence that decision. You know, because he's the agent of Haaland as well. So let's see what happens. But it'll be a tough one.
Yeah, I think from my side, it's back to the usual. More than likely, Nick is coming onto the show because he needs to speak about Newcastle losing. So that's back in action. It's good to obviously, as Matt said, have the Premier League back. Just to say, Matt, I actually had a couple of mates that went to the game. And they were sending me videos. It was incredible to watch, and sort of the noise. And I agree with you. Obviously, watching my game, hearing the Geordies sing their hearts out, even though we're losing 4-2. You know, that's why we love football. What's nice to see is that football is getting back to a sense of normality. And yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think there's different stories within this Premier League that we can unwrap throughout the season. And I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, I think looking at the positives with Arsenal as well. I think looking at it from Brentford's point of view, that is the Premier League. I mean, Leicester did it; they came in there and they won it. Brentford can come in there and they can also compete with any other team. Brentford, like they said, but the question is, will Brentford be able to do that every game? But yeah, they did it on the day and they beat Arsenal. And my final thought is tyranny for captain and Leno advice.
Hey. I actually think that's a good shot. Just to answer Pum's question over there, should we have a deadline day show? We're definitely going to do that. I think that'll be an F off the press sort of moment. We'll see what comes in and what goes out. And in Arsenal's case, I think at least 3 players will come in. Whether or not they're of caliber that they need, that's something else. That's pretty much my final thoughts. I look forward to seeing you on the Thursday. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and obviously tell your friends.
Guys, we got our shirts. We got shirts, yeah. Guys. Go Lions TV, I got mine, through the, I went to get a collection,
Family Club,
you know what I mean? Come on, go on the website, Go Lions TV.
Yeah, Selo's right. Go to the website, you can get the shirts there, and Bob's your uncle. Be part of the club, join us. Be part of the family club. Who doesn't want to be part of the family club? I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, everybody, if you don't know what to be
cool.
Be cool.
Be cool. Be cool.